This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
You may know you're listening to this show along the Marketing Podcast Network, but did you know there are other great shows on MPN to help your business? Christy Hyler hosts a fantastic podcast called Own It. Christy, tell us more about the show.
Own It is all about celebrating women and non-binary advertising agency owners. We talk about buying out of the Boys Club of Advertising because less than 1% of ad agencies are owned by women.
And where can people subscribe?
You can find the podcast at untilyouownit.com. We're also on the Marketing Podcast Network at marketingpodcast.net. And of course, you can subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
You heard her. Go subscribe.
I'm Nick Westergaard, and this is On Brand, helping you tell your story. My guest this week is Amy Irwin.
When you think about branding sort of traditionally, you think about advertising. And branding today is less about advertising, and it's more about building trust with a consumer and developing that relationship on a number of different fronts.
Amy serves as VP of Strategy and Partnerships at Experian Marketing Services. Amy is a skilled strategy and corporate development executive with deep experience in digital marketing and advertising and a track record of success in developing and building profitable new digital and mobile business at both early stage and public companies. Amy led strategic partnerships and strategic initiatives for Nielsen's Marketing Cloud, where she negotiated and managed strategic data and identity management partnerships supporting Nielsen's data targeting and marketing effectiveness businesses. Amy also served as SVP of Strategy and Partnerships at Verve Mobile, a leading location-based mobile advertising platform. At Verve, Amy developed and led Verve's mobile application business and inventory partnerships with hundreds of media companies. Prior to Verve, Amy was VP of Strategy and Corporate Development at AOL, where she was responsible for strategic planning, mergers and acquisitions, and strategic partnerships for AOL's advertising businesses. Previously, Amy held executive positions and at several successful internet and mobile companies, including Lightning Cast, an internet video advertising company, now part of AOL, Leap Wireless, a large U.S. wireless carrier, and Backwire, an internet and mobile marketing company acquired by Leap. Amy started her career in consulting with KPMG and Bain & Company. Amy has a BS from Georgetown University and an MBA from Kellogg. Amy, welcome to On Brand.
Thanks. It's great to be here.
We were musing before we hit record that when we last spoke, it was 2019. I believe it was December 2019, which could sound like a relatively normal passage of time. But as you so astutely noticed, lots happened in that window of time. This little pandemic that we've been grappling with.
Absolutely. It feels like ages ago when we spoke. So much has happened, and we've seen a lot of change in consumers' behavior since the pandemic. I think you've seen what was already a strong shift to digital really accelerated. So people like, you know, my parents are now doing things online that, quite frankly, they never did before. And it's very exciting from that perspective, but it's also can be challenging for brands to manage all of those touch points with consumers.
So talk about that shift a bit more, because given your work at Experian and your insight on consumers, I think that that's going to be really of note to the brand builders and marketers listening. How would you best describe the difference in the consumer today?
Yeah, well, I think, when you think about branding sort of traditionally, you think about advertising. And branding today is less about advertising, and it's more about building trust with a consumer and developing that relationship on a number of different fronts. So to do that, you would say, a consumer now has interactions with brands on a mobile app, on a computer, certainly still in front of their television, but also just sort of as a part of their daily life. And it's not limited to only when they go to a store or when they see your ad on TV. So with all these different touch points, it creates a huge opportunity for advertisers and marketers to learn more about their consumers and to create that experience, but also some risks if you're not able to coordinate your messages and connect all of your data sets and understand your consumer in a 360 view way that allows you to manage that customer journey and create a meaningful and positive experience for consumers.
You know, I loved what you led off with there of saying that, you know, because I think that summed it up perfectly, that we used to think branding equals advertising, and now it's about what you just said. It's about building that relationship. It's about building trust. And I almost feel like trust has gotten buzzworded in that we kind of hear about it a lot. We nod along. We hope we're doing it, but we don't really know how that works. So what, if trust is so important, how can marketers better build trust?
Yeah, that's an excellent question. I think it goes back to putting the consumer at the heart of your marketing strategy. So learning everything you can about a consumer, but doing that in a respectful way, and leveraging that information, and that, you know, that means data that's first party data that a marketer can gather, and connecting that then with trusted third party data provider sources, and using that to create relevant and personalized communication with your consumers. And again, doing that in a way that where you understand as a brand that having that data and having that relationship with the consumer is a privilege, and you use it for the good of both parties. So there's an appropriate value exchange there, so that when I land on a particular brand's website and I see something that's relevant to me, I appreciate that that's efficient. And that's helpful for me in my customer journey, and it's not something that I'm not necessarily giving up data that's in a sensitive category, for example. Or a brand doesn't need to collect that. What a brand needs to do is take all the data points, put them together, and understand who the consumer is and how the consumer wants to be spoken to and in what channels. And use that to create that positive experience. And ultimately, both parties will benefit tremendously in that value exchange.
I love the logic in the value exchange that has to happen. There's a qualifier there, though, that I feel like might stump marketers, and that is, you noted an appropriate value exchange. How can we get better at defining that? I feel like there used to be a lot of guesswork. Is there better data, better models for getting us into the ballpark of appropriate a little more consistently?
Sure. I mean, I think when you think about the value exchange, you think about collecting only the data that you actually need to create the profile of customers to provide that value to the customer. So there's that piece. There's being transparent with consumers, and I think there's been a lot of movement in that direction. So that's good. And giving consumers control so that they are able to opt out should they choose to. And I think if you have those those principles, and you follow, if you follow those principles as a brand, you'll find that ultimately, that's a respectful approach to managing a relationship with consumers.
You know, there's, I feel like you could make a word cloud from a lot of these, some of the keywords that you're saying here. You're talking about respectful, appropriate, trust. I feel like there's a joke to be made that these have not always been traits that marketers have always held in high regard and practiced consistently. But it seems like they are rising to the surface in terms of need from the consumer equation in a way that they haven't before. Are there other key traits that we need to be aware of in targeting consumers today?
Sure. I think when you think about how consumers consume media these days, it's very fragmented, right? So many, many years ago, you watched TV and, you know, maybe at night and you listen to the radio, maybe in your car. Those are pretty discrete events. You'll now have a consumer who may be going from a streaming service to a linear TV while on their laptop and has their mobile phone close by. So brands are in our lives in a way that they weren't before. And so when you think about all of that, it takes a lot of work for a brand to be able to connect all of those various touch points and do it in a way that allows that brand to understand that, you know, the person on that computer and on that phone and consuming a television media from both a linear stream and a streaming or connected TV is the same person, and that they need to make sure that they're not bombarding them with ads. So they need to be able to frequency cap, of course, across all those devices, and they need to understand which mediums that user likes to be communicated with. Some people actually respond to direct mail and prefer direct mail to, say, email or text messages. There's a lot of different communication methods as well, and users have different preferences. So in that way, it's become much more complex. Again, I think I said, you know, that creates a lot of opportunity because brands that do that well, that connect all of their internal systems. So say, you know, I would say someone like a Nordstrom, right, a retailer, has done a great job at connecting their internal systems so that they can connect the person that comes in the store to the person that comes to their website. And really, but their brand is about customer service, right? So they've sort of excelled at that. And I think there is an onus now on brands to ensure that they can connect all those digital touch points. And quite frankly, that's where Experian comes in. We help brands do that. We help brands fill in gaps in data, and we also help them connect those digital touch points so they can have a 360 view of the consumer, and we do that in a privacy-friendly way.
Are you enjoying this conversation about branding? If so, I'd love to bring my Brand Now keynote speech to your next conference or corporate event. Based on my popular book, Brand Now, this talk breaks down the seven dynamics of building a standout brand in our crowded, distracted world. Entertaining and educational, your audience will learn, laugh, and leave with ideas they can implement right away. Learn more, including watching video and viewing popular presentation topics at nickwestergaard.com/speaking. That's nickwestergaard.com/speaking. Now back to the show.
So I want to ask something that it sort of feels adjacent to all of this, and to me it's interesting. And we alluded to it a bit early on, but everything that we just talked about, these changes in in consumer behavior, these shifts that we need to follow as marketers, would we still be having this exact version of this conversation had there not been a pandemic over the past year? I guess what I'm asking, are we in a different place in communicating with consumers through COVID, or is this, other than a few minor things, has not that much changed from the consumer data perspective?
I think this has been coming, and these trends have been here for many years. The trend to digital is not new, and that's not surprising to anyone. I think where you see the acceleration is largely in I think certain demographics that were maybe a little more resistant to doing certain things online have you know, certain demographics say that had never ordered groceries online before because they liked that in-store experience. It was too risky for the older demographic to go in store. So you do see some shifts in certain demographics, but that has been coming for a long time. And the brands that have been preparing for that and have known that, you know, this is the trend, we're in a much better position to weather the storm, so to speak.
So building on this, because I even grappled with my own tenses, because I'm hesitant to say after COVID, because I don't know that we're quite there, kind of in this weird limbo. So what it seems like, if we want to as marketers skate to where we think the puck is going to be, what, based on this past year, where do we think things might go or continue to go?
Yeah, I think you're going to continue to see that brands that do a good job of using smart data and technology to establish that trust and create that great consumer experience are going to thrive. So that means, you know, the industry is facing some changes with respect to Google deprecating third-party cookies and Apple doing some restrictions around the mobile advertising identifiers. And at Experian, you know, what we're doing to help brands is we're to use your analogy, skating to where the puck is. We're looking at a world where there will be not one solution but many solutions. And what we want to do is enable these solutions and ultimately help build an advertising ecosystem that promotes the interoperability of these digital touch points while enabling and fostering new innovations in a privacy forward way. So we recently acquired Tapad, which is a digital device graph, and the combination of Tapad and Experian capabilities really supports this interoperability across both offline and online. And will position us to help our clients navigate this post third-party cookie world, and this world where digital and the fragmentation of users across all these channels has just accelerated. So that's what we're trying to help our customers with. And there's a couple of other things that we're working on. I would say there's also a huge focus on privacy, which you and I have talked about, and these sort of data sharing environments where data collaboration environments where data doesn't have to be shared. So that's another area that we're working on and supporting our clients in, so they can better leverage data, but do it in a really privacy friendly way.
Credit where credit is due. It was Wayne Gretzky's puck illusion, but
I have hockey players in my house. So, there are a lot of puck analogies in my house, so
they're handy.
I appreciated it.
They're handy. Yes. Yeah. But in talking about brands using smart data, do you have any go-to examples that, because I feel like that too is something that It sounds good, but what does that mean? What does that look like for a brand to leverage that accordingly?
Sure. Well, I would say Amazon certainly does that, but they have an advantage as they have a tremendous amount of data on their customers and very frequent interactions. If you're like me, you're on, you know, you're buying something on Amazon every day or every other day.
Already have today.
See? And so they rarely see a website visitor that they've never seen before.
Yeah.
So while they do a great job, I'm more impressed by companies like Nordstrom or DSW that also have a focus on the customer and every part of the customer journey, but don't have as many of the tools inherently that, say, an Amazon does, right? They need to harness their first-party data across so many different parts of their organization because they have that offline presence, obviously, which arguably Amazon does now with Whole Foods, but they didn't traditionally, right? They have that offline presence. They have loyalty programs. They have in-store and they're leveraging all of that first party data. And then, you know, for those companies, a company like Nordstrom, they also may come to someone like an Experian, to fill in. And then they develop these customer profiles that integrate their point of sale systems to provide sort of real time information. And they integrate style preferences, purchase history, and are able to make appropriate product recommendations, all centered sort of around that consumer. But it does leverage ultimately data and technology to do that. So I would say in each of these instances, these companies prioritize sort of a long-term connection with the consumer, and they heavily leverage data and technology in a smart way. They align with the values of the consumer. So obviously, Nordstrom's very much about customer service, and they're able to sort of build and maintain that trust by doing that.
Now, that's a great example and good caveat on the Amazon front as well. So we've talked a lot about some of these big trends. I want to go from how big everything is to get real small. If there's something that you were talking to a marketer about all of this, and the question was, okay, but I'm going to go do one thing different today to get better to this, to get closer to the puck, what would that be?
Yeah, so my tip is always goes back to the data. So so make sure that you are leveraging all of your first party data. So if you're in retail versus auto, there's going to be different levels of data there, but that requires aligning various teams from e-commerce to marketing to sales. To get that data connected, to better understand consumers, and then bring in that third-party data to really get that 360 view of the customers. So Experian will help brands connect these disparate data sets. And then finally, like, always put the consumer first. So consumers should be at the heart of every marketing strategy. And if you're doing those things, you're definitely on the right path.
Awesome. Can never go wrong putting the consumer first. Amy, as we start to wrap things up, what is a brand that has made you smile recently?
Well, it's interesting because I would say American Express. And that is because American Express sent me actually a gift card through the mail to a boutique store that I've actually never shopped at, but I have bought the brand elsewhere. American Express would have had no way of knowing that I'd bought the brand elsewhere, but they clearly found a way to understand what I would really appreciate. And they gave me a very easy way to use it. Even though it came through the mail, I could use it online. I could go to the store and it made me smile.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a great story of a little thing, an easy thing that generated a win. So sometimes we can overbake some of these ideas too. Something as easy as a gift card that's easy to use goes a long way and can have a real impact. Amy, where can folks go to learn more about who you are and what you do?
You can go to audiences@experian.com to learn more.
Awesome. Well, we will link up to that in our show notes at onbrandpodcast.com. Amy, thanks for being on brand with us.
Thank you.
And a reminder, if you liked what you're hearing, remember to subscribe to the show via Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you like to listen. And please take a moment and rate and review the podcast to help others find the show. Until next week, I'm Nick Westergaard, and I'll see you on the internet.
This podcast is heard along the Marketing Podcast Network. For more great marketing podcasts, visit marketingpodcasts.net.